Today, as we go forward, we're going to have something special today, and I want to introduce what that is. But let me give you some history, because there's some history that leads us up to today. About 20 years ago, I accepted the call to come to what was Berean Baptist Church to be the associate pastor here. And I was the associate pastor for about 7 years, and then the senior pastor, Dick Vaughn, a good friend of mine, he moved out to Lancaster, take a different ministry in Awana, and then over the next few months, the church voted on me to become the senior pastor. And so I served in that role, and after about a year, I saw some things. God laid some things on my heart that I saw that we needed to make some huge changes in our ministry. And Pastor Vaughn saw that ahead of time, and him and I had some conversations, but sometimes it just doesn't click until you see it up close. And so I saw that up close then, and so we began to make changes. And what happened was I realized that we were not a church for the community. We were very inward focused, and the community were the outsiders, and it was, well, if you come in here, you got to fit in with us, you got to dress like us, talk like us, think like us. And I saw that. I'm like, well, I don't think Jesus was like that. And so we need to make some changes there. And so I began this journey of making some changes together with the church here, and had a great group of people that said, hey, we're going to do this. We're going to stick together, and we're going to make changes. We didn't know what those changes were. We just knew we were going to follow God at every little step that God led us. We're going to take that bold step and move forward. And so kept on doing that and making some changes here and there, and had some different people in my life. And here's what happened. I recognized that as a church, I did not want to stay the same. I wanted to be different. I wanted to be a church that was growing. And so as I did some research around that, I found out that most churches, like 80% or more, are actually plateaued or declining. And what that means is they're settling for where they are, and they're actually not growing. And as I talk to different pastors, there's a lot of pastors that say, well, that'd be cool if we could, but I don't think that's going to happen. And taking some bold steps forward was just too much for pastors, friends of mine, to even do. Well, I'm just dumb enough to make those bold moves. And I say that tongue in cheek. The reality is I just say, well, God wants me to, so I'm going to, and we'll see how this works out, and don't really think about, well, somebody might be upset if you change the color of, or change the curtains, or change whatever, or do this ministry different, or whatever, and then afterwards I'm like, well, I got to pick up the pieces over here if somebody's upset, and so the painful things kind of happen as you go, and that's why those changes don't often happen in a church setting. But for me, I realized, you know, I cannot stand still and just continue to be the way that it always was. And so I kept pushing forward, and I kept pushing forward. Here's the reality. Don't you think that about your own life? In your marriage, don't you often have these glimmers of, you know, it's never going to get any better. It's always going to stay the same. Or maybe in your life with your finances or in other relationships or whatever, that sometimes you settle for status quo instead of thinking that God has something bigger. And that's what I've been pushing all of us out of. It has nothing to do with church growth. It has everything to do with personal growth. That instead of settling for status quo personally, that we're all pushing and saying, no, my marriage can honor God more if I were to take some steps of faith and I take some bold steps to be a different person. And for me, I've been continuing to be on that journey personally. I haven't been looking and saying, well, you need to be different, church. I've been looking and saying, I've got to grow. I've got to make some changes. And you've got to grow, and you've got to make some changes. We're going to do this together. And our core statement is, we're a work in what? Yeah, we haven't arrived. We're not the perfection church. Amen. We are just, God's continuing to grow, so work in progress, and so we'll continue to do that. So about a year ago, I was praying that God would lead someone into my life that would be what I call a Paul. In Scripture, there's this guy, the Apostle Paul, who's written most of the New Testament, and he mentored and coached, we'd say, a lot of people like Timothy and others, that he mentored people to be able to become all they need to be. And for me, I knew that sometimes at different points you get stuck, right? where you're like, I know I could be different. I know things need to be better, but I'm not sure how to make those changes. I'm not sure where to make those changes, and I don't want to make mistakes. And so about a year ago, I began praying for God to lead someone into my life that can coach or mentor me and to help me to grow, to become, I don't want to be stagnant myself. I don't want to be stay the same. I want to grow. And so 6 months ago, I was up at what was formerly Baptist Bible College, now is Clark Summit University, and up there for a pastor's retreat. And while I was there, I ran into this guy, Dan Nichols. He's just this young punk of a kid, like in his 20s. He didn't have a beard at that time, I don't think. And so he looked like he was just a college student. And we're just talking, have a good time. I'm kidding. And so we're having a good time, and he's just a really nice guy and stuff like that. And we exchanged numbers and emails and continued the conversation. And come to find out, him and his friend Tim had planted a church up in Wilkes-Barre that was doing what I had in my heart to do, where they were seeing lives change. They were not status quo. They were seeing lives change, where God was doing some amazing things, and people were doing some things totally different in their lives to honor and follow God. And they were leading in a different way. And I loved it. And so then I continued the conversation and found out that Dan actually mentors people, coaches people. And I'm like, you know what? I don't want to stay where I'm at. So I'm going to find a guy that's where I want to be. And I'm going to follow in that and connect, continue this conversation to get to where I want to be and keep growing. And oftentimes when we're at a status quo, the only way you're going to get out is to be around other people that you can kind of rub shoulders with that will help you pull out. So if your marriage is struggling, if your finances are struggling, stop thinking that you have all the solutions yourself. Get around people that can help you go further and get you there faster. And so that's where this relationship has come from. And so I asked Dan to come and to share a bit about his ministry, about a bit about him today, so that you can kind of see a little bit as to the heartbeat and vision that I have for our church as well, because of what God's led him to. And just really excited to have Dan here. His wife and son are not here today, but we'll have them back at some point and be able to get to know them a little bit better. So welcome, Dan. Thank you so much.
Thanks, bud.
Thanks, brother.
Oh, you know how young he is, by the way?
All right. This is the funniest thing. You ready? This is your intro. All right, so yesterday is a funny, because he calls or I called him. I forget which it was. And he goes, "Yo, dog." And I'm like, I don't even know what to say to that. Hey, buddy. Anyway, love you, bud. That was awesome.
Sorry.
That was the funniest thing.
Now I'll do that every single time you call. Good morning, Milestone Church. My name's Dan, and you've already heard a little bit about our relationship, but I just want to tell you that I'm learning a lot from Pastor Bill. I think anytime you enter into a relationship like that, you learn a lot from each other. So we've been having a great time just getting to know each other, learning a lot about each other. And one of the things I learned this morning is that if you want to go through Philadelphia on any trip, you need to go through on Sunday morning, all right? If you guys didn't know that, when you're planning your trips, go through Philly on Sunday morning, because it was a breeze. And I think I got here like an hour and a half early. So thank you for all of you who were very patient with me. They're like, who is this guy like hanging out? So thank you for your patience. I want to tell you a little bit of our story. But before I do that, go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I love what Pastor Bill was saying before I got up here. I love the heartbeat that he has and the vision that God is continually giving him for where Milestone should go and what Milestone should be. And I am thrilled about next week. How many of you are excited about next week? It is going to be an amazing opportunity to represent Jesus well to this area. It's going to be an amazing day, and I just want to get you guys stoked for it, and I'll kind of want to frame up a little bit more of the direction and trajectory, but especially starting in God's Word, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and, catch this, gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, Don't miss this. We are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. And we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might be right with God. Ladies and gentlemen, I can't think of another text of Scripture that would better frame an answer to the question of why change. Because change just for change's sake is pointless. Wouldn't you agree? There's a lot of people that say, well, I want change. Okay, great. What does that mean? And why do you want change? Listen, I don't know about you, but when I travel around a lot, I talk to a lot of different pastors. I'm in a lot of different churches. I am a church planner, and I'll share with you my story. But I have this passion and this deep desire for every single follower of Jesus to see themselves, all of us, seeing ourselves as ambassadors and representatives of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, every single one of us. And when we come together collectively, we've got to answer this question, why? Why would we change things that may not be as effective anymore at reaching people who desperately need everything that Paul's talking about here? I mean, think about this. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Has that happened in your life? Has God done that work in your life? Well, guess what? If he has, then he wants you to go be a part of seeing that change in the lives of other people. Isn't that right? And sometimes that process is messy. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it means we got to get outside of our comfort zones. But when I wake up in the morning, this is what I want to do. Verse 20, we're ambassadors for Christ. God is making his appeal through us. Individually, yes, but also together. You see, the church is a team and a family. And together, Milestone Church is called to represent Jesus well to people who are far from him. And I hope that this next week, it's a great launching pad into some more opportunities for that. But guys, it's just the start. Don't view next week as something where you've arrived and you finally, you're where you need to be. It's just the start of God doing some amazing things. In here? Yeah, absolutely, in these four walls. But hopefully, even greater things outside of these four walls, in the lives of people who once were far from him, dead in their trespasses and sins, but since we've been called into this ministry of reconciliation, we get to play a part in what God is doing, not just inside the four walls of a church building, but outside, in our communities, in the lives of our neighbors, our coworkers, and our friends, and our family members who need the hope of the gospel. And we see that clearly in verse 21. Does that make sense? So I want to tell you some stories of what God has done in our lives in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, and tell you how we have gone about this process of trying to represent Jesus well as a church. And as we go along, how many of you have a phone? You guys have phones? All right. Do you bring them to church, or does Pastor Bill not let you do that? I'm going to put my cell phone number up on the screen, and as we go through, I want to do some interaction. So as you have questions, okay, and by the way, the snarkier the better, okay? I'm all about all cards on the table. So if you have some questions as we go through, feel free to text me, and I'm going to try to answer as many of them as I can as we go through. But first, I want to introduce you to my wife and son who are not able to be here today. They're at our church in Wilkes-Barre serving. But one thing you may not know about our son is that he was born missing an entire chamber of his heart. So we knew that halfway through the pregnancy, and so we were directed to the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, which, as many of you probably know, is an unbelievably amazing organization. And so we had our son. This is a picture of Landon very soon after he was born. You can say, aw, yeah, very cute. And this is a picture of him at CHOP. And so basically, because of his condition called HLHS, we knew that he would have to have 3 open-heart surgeries before preschool. So this is the journey that we've been on, and we spent 4 months living in Philadelphia. I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, which means that we don't have a football team to cheer for, if you know anything about the NFL. So we jumped on that Philly, the Eagles bandwagon. Like, we jumped on it. We were there for 4 months. This is a picture of Landon after his first open-heart surgery. He had that at 5 days old. And he's gone through 2 of them. he flatlined on us twice. So twice we went through that getting that call from the hospital, come quickly. We thought we had lost our son twice. But you know what? The good news is that this is how he's doing today. Isn't that awesome? Man, God has been so faithful. He's been doing some great things. Landon will have to have his third open heart surgery in the next year. So we'll probably be spending some more time back down here in Philly. But he's getting really rebellious nowadays, which is fun. That's what they tell me will happen. So this is my number. As we go through and I tell you some stories of our church planting efforts and what God's teaching us over in Wilkes-Barre, go ahead and text this number, 570-468-4343. And I'd love to look at those and try to talk about some of your questions today. Now, how many of you have ever been to Wilkes-Barre? A few of you? Okay. Wilkes-Barre is just south of Scranton, and it's a very impoverished area, economically impoverished, spiritually impoverished. When we moved to Wilkes-Barre, I believe the evangelical population was around 4%, something around there, of those lines. So at least 95% of the people in our city didn't claim to have a personal relationship with Jesus. And so we moved down to start this church that we were going to call Restore Church. And this was a picture of our launch team. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're wondering, how on earth could ABWE, this missions organization, or Project Jerusalem out of Baptist Bible Seminary, how on earth could these organizations send 4 13-year-olds to go plant a church? Like, what are they thinking? Now, we weren't 13, but we were in our young 20s, and we didn't know a lot, but we knew that we loved Jesus. We believed he was everything that he claimed to be, and we wanted other people to know him. And this was the neighborhood that we moved into. Now, I don't know about you, but I did not grow up in a neighborhood like this. I moved down on a Friday night, and very quickly, over the next week or so, I discovered that our neighbors right through the walls of these row houses included 2 Megan's Law sex offenders, a Wiccan witch, a heroin dealer, a young lady who slept under the bridge in our city and would bring different boyfriends that she was sleeping with. There was a woman who had been sex trafficked in Miami, and it was also frat party central for King's College, and we also had a prostitute who lived next door. Now, I don't know about you, but I didn't grow up in that environment. And on that Friday night, I kept waking up at 1 a.m., 3 a.m., and just all through the night hearing bottles breaking, girls screaming. I mean, literally, I grew up as a sheltered pastor's kid from the suburbs of Cleveland, Ohio. I mean, so sheltered that we literally had to fast forward parts of VeggieTales, okay? Like, some of you are like, I get the Sheltered Baptist Award, I beat all of you, okay? So I'm waking up on a Friday night, I'm going, God, what did you do? Why do you have us here? And again, all we did was we started opening up our row house. And on Thursday nights, we had an hour of a meal and an hour of a guided discussion through the Bible. And we went through the letter of Colossians, which is really cool because it was written to a brand new church plant. And we said, here's what it says, here's what it means, and here's how we apply it to our lives. And as you can see, a bunch of people started coming. Fast forward a year and a half, God did some amazing, amazing things. We started meeting people like our friend Dan. Dan never knew anything in his life outside of drugs and violence. And he kept telling us that we were the only people in his life who had never given up on him. And we walked through a couple relapses with him. Middle of last year, he got out of jail again. And the first place he came to, literally walked from the jail back to, guess where? Our building. Because that's where he knew he would find people who were going to continue to love him and help him in his life. And Dan was pretty cool. At one point, he actually got the logo of our church shaved into his head. So I wanted to take a vote and see how many of you think it'd be pretty cool if we got Pastor Bill to get the milestone logo. Don't you think that'd be pretty cool? Yeah. Oh, we could totally do that. Yeah. I already asked him. He said he's all about it, so you guys make that happen. So fast forward a year and a half, we had a grand opening, and that little group of 4 people that you saw, we had 450 people come out to our grand opening, which was unbelievable. And this cathedral that we rented for $150 a month. Can you do that in New Jersey? I don't think you could do that. I don't think so. God just did some miraculous things. Anyway, so God did a great work, and then a year and a half after that, this was in 2013, so our church is publicly only about 5 years old, so we're like in church land, we're like a little toddler, just starting to get into preschool age here. But God started doing some things. We saw a lot of lives changed, and we're like, you know what? We need to get a permanent facility. So we started looking around, and God gave us this church building. This right here is a 7-bedroom house, and this is a parking lot. And I don't know what that would go for in New Jersey, but in Wilkes-Barre, that went for $95,000 cash. Don't fall out of your seats, okay? I believe in a God who works miracles, and he did that. Now, not only was the sales price an amazing thing, I think, okay, it was like $98,500 after taxes, okay? So if that helps you. We had a family who literally gave us $100,000, and we own it out mortgage-free. Isn't that amazing? Listen, I'll tell you what. I love what Pastor Bill was talking about, just settling, you know, like how he was challenging all of us, not to settle in our personal lives, but even together as churches. I think sometimes we just settle and we go, man, we just have such a small view of God. We have such a big view of ourselves and a very small view of God. Well, guess what? The true God, the real God, the God who sent his son to die on that cross and come alive again, he is powerful. He is active. He is alive. And he was doing things. And guess what? He's even doing stuff here in the United States of America. You know, sometimes we think of missions as, man, that's Asia, that's Africa. Guess what? They're more Christian than we are. They are. The new missions frontier, if you guys don't know this, the new missions frontier is Europe and North America. Why? Because they are the most post-Christian. And by the way, America is not just a post-Christian nation. I got news for you. It is becoming rapidly an anti-Christian nation. People are not being told that the Bible is irrelevant anymore. They are being told that it is evil. When I go and I do my circle evangelism trainings, I bring with me atheist children's Bibles, okay? If I ever come do it in the area here, I'll bring them and you can see them. It's unbelievable, the stuff, at how America is changing and how we are very rapidly right in the center of an amazing mission field. And we've got to not put our trust in ourselves and go, well, we've got to be better and we've got to do it. No! God is alive and doing amazing things in people's lives, and we've got to jump on board with what he is doing. And when we do that, he comes through because he is faithful and he is good. So we've seen God come through for us in big ways. This is the inside of our church here. Today we actually have a children's choir from Africa singing and dancing on that stage. Really, really awesome stuff. But ultimately, though, we don't believe that success in the church is measured by seating capacity. Okay, see, it's not about numbers for numbers' sake or how big of a crowd we can get to go hear sermons. That's not success. Success is not measured by seating capacity. It's measured by sending capacity. Because if we are found, we are called to find. And so we see success as not just how many people can we get to come out to something, but how many lives can be changed by the power of the gospel, and how can we send and mobilize leaders. This young lady here, Lacey, my wife and I just took them a meal actually last night because they just had a baby. Lacey came during our internship period with a church out of Scranton called Steamtown Church. Lacey came to our very first community group, and she was freaked out. She was super scared of Christians. She was scared of the Bible. She's like, what's going to happen to me? Are they all going to, like, you know, jump on me or do weird stuff that I don't know about? And we had her into a community group. We started walking through Colossians. And she came to know Jesus, and she spent about a year walking through that process of discipleship, and I asked her, Lacey, would you be willing to move and join our launch team, because she worked with kids, and I wanted her to launch our kids program and do it very professionally. And she did that. It was a huge step of faith, because she lived out in a very rural area. She came into Wilkes-Barre, joined our launch team, met Jake, who was interning with us, and then they got married, and a pastor in the area was doing lunch with me, and he said, you know, I need a teammate at my church. I've been at this church for 35 years, never had a teammate. Do you guys have anybody? And at that point, there was a decision that we had to make, because sometimes we get so concerned about our little K kingdom that we forget about the big K kingdom, that God's kingdom is so much bigger and broader than just one local church, right? And so this pastor asked, hey, do you have anyone? And we were like, you know what, honestly, we would hate to lose Jake and Lacey. I mean, they're huge to us, but we know they'd be a great fit for you in Nanticoke. Nanticoke is right here. Wilkes-Barre is right here. So, and in this area, that might as well be like 50 miles away, okay? Like going about 15 minutes down the road is a big deal in our area. So we sent them to Nanticoke, and we said, you know what? God's kingdom is more important. And they've been serving there for 2 years. They're seeing lives changed in Nanticoke and doing amazing things. And we see that as success. Not to just hoard and keep for one little K kingdom, but to give and send and mobilize the entire body and see people go from lost to leading. Because the vision that God has for his church is not that we just go from lost to not lost anymore, right? The vision is that people would go from lost to leading others to come and step into the light and find the freedom that comes through the gospel. Then we had these families also that came up from Hazleton, and they were asking us about starting a church there. And so, long story short, we hired this couple from Miami, Danny and Allie Gonzalez, to come and to lead the launch team in Hazleton because they're bilingual and they have a lot of background. I want to tell you a little bit more about what's going on in Hazleton. So if you have some questions, go ahead and text me. Again, that's the number. Feel free to text that, 570-468-4343. Let me tell you a little bit about Hazleton. We hired Danny and Allie because we needed a bilingual leader because Hazleton is very, very different than Wilkes-Barre. And if you're going to be effective as a local church, one of the things I would encourage you to do is be very mindful and very really look into the demographics of what make up Magnolia or the surrounding communities, right? And not just where you are here at the church building where you meet, but also the different types of people that you work with, the different types of people that you do life with, and learn where are they coming from? What are their belief systems? What are their ethnic backgrounds? What are they thinking? What are they feeling? And learn more about people who are in the community. And that's something that we had to do with this new church plant. We had to think, okay, if Hazleton is 40 to 50% Hispanic, what does it look like to start a new church that is multi-ethnic? Do I need to put a new battery in? How's that? Is that good? So as we were thinking about Hazleton, we started to say, okay, what is that going to look like, and how are we going to go about this? So I want to tell you some stories of what they've been doing. Hopefully it can maybe spark some ideas for you guys, or maybe some things that you can participate in. But one of the things I found about outreach, especially in past years and even currently, a lot of churches, their main focus is how do we get all those people out there to come into our world and inside our four walls here? Haven't you seen that? And you know, our church, we've done that too. Like with Restore Church in Wilkes-Barre, we've done Trunk or Treat. How many of you have done Trunk or Treat before? You've seen those, okay? Like that's, we do those things. It's not bad. It's not wrong to have people come in these four walls, and it's definitely not bad to invite your friends to come to church on Sunday mornings. I mean, we do that all the time. We've actually, ever since we launched, we've never had a Sunday without first-time guests, and that's an awesome thing. We are so excited about that. So I'm not saying that's wrong or that's bad. What I'm saying is I don't think that's the primary strategy, and here's why. Think about it theologically. Did God stay up in heaven and look down at us as we were lost and far from him? Did he stay up in heaven and look down at us and go, hey, all you guys, get up here into my world. Come on up. Let's do this. Did he do that? Would it have been possible without Jesus? Could we have a relationship with God without what Jesus did? No. So what did God do? He sent Jesus into our mess, and Jesus suffered. He became very, very uncomfortable for you and for me. And as we were just singing that song, above all, right? All the stuff that Jesus did to bring us into right relationship with God. You know what? I think if we're going to be effective at representing Jesus in our different spheres of influence and in the towns and the villages and the different areas that we are placed, in order to be effective, we've got to have more of a mentality of where can we go and be like Jesus in the lives of our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends, and the people who live around us. It's great to invite people to come to what we're doing here, But we're living, as I told you, in not just a post-Christian, an anti-Christian nation. And less people are going to be coming inside the four walls of churches. More people are going to need a loving extension of God's grace in their lives from you and from me as ambassadors. So here's what the strategy is. We hit the streets with water coolers. We pass out water and we say, hey, here's some water. Well, when it's warm, obviously. We don't do it in the 6 months of winter that we just had in northeast Pennsylvania. Join in with stuff that is already happening. We do food distribution stuff, fixing up the parks. Well, the mayor of Hazleton was approached at a carnival one time because we were handing out glow sticks that said restored Hazleton, and I'll talk about our second core value, which is no perfect people allowed. And they were passing them out. Well, there were some vendors who were there who were selling glow sticks. So you can imagine the tension, right? The vendors are going, how are these people passing them out for free? We're trying to sell them. It's cutting into business. So they approached the mayor and they said, get those people out of here. The mayor came to our team and he said, you know what? You guys have done so much for our city that I'm actually going to help you pass out your free glow sticks. And he did that, okay? Now, don't tweet this. Please, don't. But he started passing out restored Hazleton glow sticks. Why? Because our team had made such a difference and an impact in the community that he was motivated to kind of ignore the complaints of other people there because he wanted to honor our team for the impact that they had made. Really, really cool stuff. Again, this night is called Diversity Night, and Diversity Night isn't a Christian event, okay? Like, it's a normal event that happens in Hazleton, and our team went and became a part of this, serving food, meeting people, building relationships. Awesome opportunity. 4th of July stuff in the city, working with other churches. Can you believe that? Isn't that scary? Yeah, that's always scary when we think about the unity, but if you read Ephesians 4, it's cool. God's good with it, all right? Community groups, inviting people out, and sometimes people think of community groups as closed groups, and sometimes those are really good and helpful. Our community groups have been open, and they invite guests from the community to come participate. They'll have game nights. They'll do other fun stuff throughout the cycle. Prayer walking, one of the most powerful things you can do. I would challenge you, if you haven't done this as a church, do some prayer walking. Just walk around. Now, you may not land on the front cover of your city's newspaper because you do it. That'll tell you how much is actually happening in Hazleton. But it is powerful when you get people together, maybe not just from Milestone Church, but from other churches, and you start walking around a neighborhood. See, in Wilkes-Barre and Hazleton, there's a lot of violence, a lot of gang activities on the rise. There's a lot of stuff that's really going wrong. And so we've had teams that have done a lot of prayer walking around the cities of Wilkes-Barre and Hazleton and different neighborhoods and different places. And I would challenge you, go and do that, because again, the power doesn't come from us and our strategies, does it? It comes from God, and we've got to ask God to show up and show himself faithful in the lives of people who need him. These are some more pictures from community groups, and the best thing that I can, and this is really the culmination of everything that I'm talking about, the end win for us is always changed lives. The end win is seen, like, this is our church planner, Danny Gonzalez, and the cool thing is he just moved maybe 7 months ago, 7 or 8 months ago, into Hazleton, into the city, and already he has brought three of his neighbors to the Lord. Isn't that awesome? This is one of them, Daniel, his mother, Vilma, and his father, Craig, and they live right across the street, and literally the only way that that started was that Daniel was moving in, he saw them sitting on the porch, and all he did, guys, was he walked across the street, and he said, hey, my name's Dan, I live across the street, I'm moving in, obviously, what are your names, I'd love to get to know you. It just took a little bit of courage to just walk across the street, build that relationship, and he's already seen them come to Christ, and the cool thing is now this team is doing monthly gatherings, and they're working up to a grand opening sometime in the near future. So we're really excited to get the second church plant off the ground. God's doing some amazing things. But I want to tell you some specific stories of life change, and then we'll take some time for questions, all right? So 570-468-4343 if you have any questions so far. This is a little bit more about our church. Restored Church, we named it that so that we would have the gospel in our name, and we tell people we believe that you can have a restored relationship with God through faith in what Jesus has accomplished for you in his perfect life, death, and resurrection. So these are the values that we have. The first one is that we're gospel-centered. Everything comes back to the good news of Jesus. The second is no perfect people allowed. The third is in the city for the city, meaning that we want Wilkes-Barre and Hazleton to be better cities because the people of the Jesus followers are there, and we're here, and we're serving, and we're ministering. And even if people don't come to faith in Jesus, we're not viewing them as targets to fill some kind of religious quota. We're loving them in the name of Jesus, and hopefully they will see their lives change. But even if they don't, we will continue to pour out and to love Wilkes-Barre and Hazleton and show that in practical ways. More and better disciples would be our fourth core value. And then we've actually changed this fifth one to church multiplication, because as we started planting, we started to get a vision for helping existing churches get healthier and not just starting new ones. I think it's both and not just either or. So at the very outset of everything that we did, and even when it was just the four of us over on Myers Court, we started this strategy of My Circle, loving people on purpose and identifying who's in our spheres of influence, who's far from God, praying consistently for them, engaging them weekly, and then sharing the gospel and actually communicating the good news monthly. And there's a lot more I could do with that, but here are some other things that we did. We joined the Downtown Business Association in Wilkes-Barre. We found some local organizations, and we joined that because we wanted to form relationships with people. This was a picture of our grand opening. We did a ribbon cutting. I believe that's part of your plans next week, too. It's really cool. And you can see some members of the Downtown Business Association there. This was our second one that we did when we relocated to the other facility. Party on the Square is not a Christian Party on the Square, okay? It's like all the colleges in Wilkes-Barre come on the Square, and we would do raffles, and we would meet a lot of college students and have people do that. Chalk Fest is an event on our riverfront walk area. Also, River Fest, two different events that we would join and we would participate in. We give out free hot chocolate and donuts when it was cold. Yeah, pretty cool. So people really like that. We engaged with the local media, and we did all kinds of stuff. We did billboards. We talked to local TV. We did radio, that kind of stuff. Basically, what you see here are two newspaper articles. This is because of a carnival we did at a low-income high-rise that had a lot of violence and crime, and we learned that one of the ways to cut down on that is to create events where people can meet their neighbors, because a lot of times when there's a lot of crime and violence, people don't want to meet their neighbors. They don't want to interact because there's a lot of fear. So if you can create an event in that area where people can get out and they can say, oh, my neighbor's a great person. Like, I can form a relationship with them. It helps with that. And then our former worship leader, Josh, he's now doing some other stuff, but he moved into Sherman Hills so that he could build relationships with people. And I don't know, maybe today God's prompting some of you. You're going, man, I don't even know. Like, maybe God is prompting me to maybe not just join a different community organization or to see my neighbors and my friends in a different light, but maybe God's even wanting me to shift where I live. And God did that in the life of our worship leader, Josh. He actually went and lived in Sherman Hills. And again, this will tell you how much is happening in Wilkes-Barre and Hazleton, landed on the front cover of the Citizen's Voice. Why? Because he simply moved his residence. And in the interview, they're like, why are you moving to Sherman Hills? And he said, I'm moving here because I love Jesus, and I want to represent him well to my neighbors here at Sherman Hills. We started one of our members, Carrie, at the time, she started this Lighthouse Outreach, which was really, really effective. We had missions teams come in from other churches. We did church in the park. Instead of doing church inside the four walls of a building, we actually took it to our local park, and we even teamed up with other churches to do that. That was really, really awesome. Those are just some of those ideas. So life change. What does it look like to be interacting with people who are far from God? Listen, one of the most difficult things in church life is getting long-time church people, okay, long-time believers, like myself, to actually start interacting and living life with people who have different value systems, different belief systems, and forming relationships with them. Now, I don't know about you, but I found that to be extremely difficult. I told you how sheltered I was, right? Like, you know, so when I moved to Wilkes-Barre, I gotta be honest with you, I only started really living a missional lifestyle right when we moved to Wilkes-Barre. So it's only been about 5 to 6 years, but I've tried to learn. And one of the things I've learned is that we have to let some of our comfort zones expand out or decrease a little bit. Because some of us have some very wide comfort zones. And we keep people at arm's length because maybe they think differently than us, or they look differently, or they're from a different socioeconomic status. But God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to build bridges. My friend Ryan is a neighbor of mine. He's a good friend. I love Ryan. We've built a great relationship up over time. And he was a neighbor of mine, and I was like, God, like, give me an opportunity. Well, I saw him walking with some golf clubs one day, and I love golf. Any golfers in the house? None of you. Wow. Bill, you got to warn me about this stuff, all right? That went over like a lead balloon. That was not good. Anyway, golf's really awesome. There's a tournament going on in the Masters. You should watch it this afternoon. Anyway, I'm like, hey, bro, like, let's go golfing. He's like, awesome, let's do it. So we actually went golfing, believe it or not, the very next day. And we started forming this relationship. He found out I was a pastor, which was unfortunate because then he's like, oh, no. And I was like, no, don't freak out. It's cool. You can be you. Like, I'm just here to be your friend. So we started golfing together. And at one tournament, he invited me to play, and it was pretty expensive. And I was like, well, should I, you know, that's a lot of money. But I was like, you know what? God wants me to love Ryan. So I paid for it. It went into this environment, not a Christian tournament. And I could tell it wasn't because I hit a shot on the left side of the fairway. That's like the short grass in the middle, okay? And I walk over to our golf cart, and Ryan and a couple other friends that he had invited, they were smoking some weed on the golf course. And I'm walking over, and they see me coming, and so Ryan tries to, you know, give a little heads up. He's like, hey, Dan, you don't mind if we smoke a little weed, do you? I was like, I'm not your mom. That's the only thing I knew how to say. To which he replied, well, she smokes weed too, so I don't see where the problem is. You know? Like, Ryan is an amazing guy. And you know, one of the things I found about him is I've really respected how he parents his son, Jack. His son, Jack, is living with very severe autism. And he's an amazing dad to his son, Jack. Just amazing. He gives up time on the golf course and time for basketball and stuff. And he parents and fathers his son so well. And you know, right when we were preparing to have Landon, I took some time to go on his Facebook wall and just encourage him. I was like, Ryan, thank you so much for giving me an example. Like, even though Ryan doesn't follow Jesus, and I'm really working on that, we go back and forth on it a lot. We've talked about the gospel a lot. He's not there yet. But man, he's an amazing dad. I just encouraged him with that. And all of his friends started liking it. Like, yeah, that's Ryan. That's awesome. And you know, what is it that you can do and what is it that you can see differently in the lives of your friends who aren't followers of Jesus yet to be there for them, to encourage them, to build bridges with them rather than keeping them at arm's length? What are some of those things? This is another friend of mine. I don't know if you guys get this station down here. You probably don't, but this is the big top hit station, not a Christian station, okay? Like, do you guys get K-Love down here? You get K-Love? This is not K-Love. Let me tell you how I know why. They do, like, in order to get concert tickets, you have to come in and do, like, naked jumping jacks and stuff. I mean, it's really not K-Love, at least not that I know of. Anyway, so this guy's been there. Jeff has been at this station for about 35 years. I mean, he was doing concert trips to go see Journey and stuff. Like, he has been at the station for 35 years. I was on air because we put up a billboard about a series that we were preaching on sexuality, and he wanted to interview me. And literally, there had never been a pastor on this radio show before. Never. And so what they did is they played the Hallelujah chorus before I came up. It was like, Hallelujah, we got a pastor in the show. Isn't that insane? Anyway, through that interview, Jeff and I started to become friends. And you know what? Jeff, he is not there yet when it comes to faith. Like, we've gone back and forth on it. He's not there yet, but we do breakfast together. He's been in my home. I've been in his home. He actually helped us move into our home. And, you know, even though Jeff is not a believer yet, he just came out about 2 months ago. I preached a sermon at Restored, and I invited him out specifically because it was about our journey with Landon. We were doing a Disappointment with God series. I was preaching on Job 3 and telling our story. He came out with about 7 other friends of ours, personal friends who are unchurched, unsaved, and they came out and they heard this message. And you know, even though Jeff isn't a follower of Jesus yet, I want to be that friend where if the bottom ever drops out in his life and things start to go south or haywire, I want him to call me and go, Dan, like, I need you. Like, I know that you love me because I'm Jeff. And that's what I'm hoping will happen someday, and hopefully that he'll come to Christ as well, and he knows that. TJ is a guy who spent some time in prison. He Man, his story is unbelievable. He's got like an 8-minute story on our YouTube page if you want to see it. But what I get excited about is this. I am truly sorry for some of the things I have said and posted on Facebook. Guys, TJ got really, really wealthy working with the mob, okay? TJ, he had everything going, hit rock bottom, then went into jail, got out of jail, came to Christ, but he was never discipled. And discipleship, this process of becoming more like Jesus, he never really started that until he came to Restored. And, you know, seeing people write stuff like this on Facebook, that they're starting to confess sin for the first time ever. Do you know who the greatest evangelist at Restored is right now? It's TJ. TJ cannot shut up about Jesus. Every single Sunday, he's got like a whole row of friends that he's bringing out. It's unbelievable because he's on fire and he loves seeing Jesus work in his life. This is a couple that came to our church and in premarital counseling. Andrea came to know Jesus and I was able to marry them. And now, not only, like, this is so amazing. Again, going from lost to leading, okay? It's amazing to see this guy. Not only, Tim is not only coming to Restore, growing in the faith, he is now co-leading a community group. Guys, Tim was the guy who would sit way back in the back, you know, like behind the sound booth, didn't want to talk to, I mean, someone who you would never, ever think would ever lead a community group, but he's doing it, and I just went through a whole cycle with him. He's doing a phenomenal job, and it's amazing seeing people take that step. I could talk for hours about this story. We prayed for years for Paige, addicted to drugs at the age of 14, hardcore. I mean, her parents here literally thought that she was going to be lost, not just spiritually, but like even physically multiple times. And I remember them texting us while we were in Tennessee saying, there's another court case. We're walking into the courtroom. Pray for us now. Guys, Paige is posting every single day about how she is loving Jesus more. She's learning about the gospel, and she's telling her friends that Jesus is better than drugs. Man, I don't know about you, but this is why I get up in the morning, just seeing this stuff happen and getting a front row seat to it. This is another story that I'll let Josh share for himself. It's about a minute and a half video. So I'll let that video play, and you can see the things that God has done in his life, and then I'll come back up, and I'll answer some of your questions that hopefully a few of you are texting me. So go ahead and check out that video, and then I'll come back up.
I'm Josh, and I'm a follower of Jesus. Before I was a follower of Jesus, I was just living in really dark times. I was drinking, I was doing drugs. I didn't care too much about anything in my life. And the one night I remember praying, felt like my father was sitting next to me. It was almost like he was telling me just to give my life to being a follower of Jesus. And I decided at that time to connect with my friend Keith and go to the community group. And I met Pastor D that very night. And I just knew right then and there that this was the right place for me. It was in the right place at the right time. And I haven't looked back. And I want to be baptized because I don't want to live like I used to live. I want to live in the light and not the darkness. Jesus works. I mean, I can see the way that he has changed me from inside out. I'll never look back or go back to the way I was living that life of sin. Darkness, it's not a good feeling to be living that kind of life. And now to look back on it, I kind of like felt dirty. Like I felt like ashamed of the way I used to live. That's why I won't be baptized.
Last week, as you know, was Easter, and it was a really special day for our church because on Easter we have baptisms, and we had 15 people go public with their faith on Easter. And ever since our grand opening in 2013, so we've been about 5 years public, so 2013 to 2018, we're now able to celebrate 97 baptisms in that amount of time. And again, it's nothing special that we are. It's really, it's the power of the gospel. It's the fact that Jesus is just not a historical figure that lived a long time ago and then has no relevance for today. No, he is Lord and leader of our lives today, and he is calling each one of us into that process of representing him well in the lives of people around us. So, I don't know about you, but part of what I wanted to say to you is, one, I'm super excited about what God is doing here at Milestone, and I hope that some of these stories and some of these things that you're hearing, that they really encourage you, and that you look at them and you go, man, like, we can continue to be a part of that, and maybe even in some new ways, maybe in some different ways than what has been done before. Here's a couple questions that have come in. These are really good. Did the people who took a bad path in the apartment come to know Christ? We did see some people come to know Jesus in the neighborhood of Myers Court. My wife and I don't live there now, but the reality is most of the people that lived on Myers Court did not come to know Jesus. Those people that I was mentioning, I could tell you a lot of stories of how we lived life with them, different interactions, had them into our community group. But the flat-out truth of the matter is the amount of rejections you get versus the amount of people who bow the knee and give their lives to Jesus, it's really, really messy. This process of evangelism, I mean, I could share all kinds of stories of the wins and where people did, but for every story, there might as well be like 10 of relationships that didn't pan out or people who didn't bow the knee. One of them is my neighbor, Nos. I love Nos. Nos is an awesome kid. He's going into college here pretty soon. But a couple years ago, I heard him dribbling out in the street at midnight, and I got all cranky because that's just what I do now. And I was like, man, like, he's probably dribbling in the street because he doesn't have a hoop. So I went over the next day and said, if I got a hoop, would you like to, you know, play hoops? And he's like, yeah, that's awesome. So he and his friend Eric would play hoops with us. And one day I was just playing with Nos, and he's like, it's my birthday today. I'm 17 today. Just kind of casually threw it out there. And I was like, you're 17? Like, do you have a party? Do you have anything going on? And what we hadn't discovered was that the house right across the street was a home for kids coming through the foster system. And I was like, man, like, you have nothing planned for your birthday. He's like, no. So we had we scrambled and got a birthday party together, took him to Sweet Frog. We watched the game together and all this stuff. 2 weeks later, we were on the steps of our church, and he prayed to accept Jesus, and I was able to baptize him with some friends. Right after that, I got him a big Bible, like a really fancy, like, new believer's Bible. I was so excited. And I walked over. I was like, all right, Nos, like, when can we start, like, hanging out and start talking about following Jesus and all this stuff? And he had started to count the cost. Not that we hadn't talked about that before, but he really started to count the cost. And he's like, so what you're telling me is my life's got to change. And I was like, yeah, man, like, you come as you are, but you don't stay as you are. And, you know, ever since then, Nos has had no interest in really following through on that. And is that discouraging? Absolutely. I mean, I'll still give Nos rides to work. He works at Chick-fil-A now on the square in our city, and we'll talk, we'll interact. He knows that we're there for him. But not every single time when you step out in faith is it that slam dunk where people just, oh, yes, absolutely. Evangelism is very, very difficult. So I don't want you to come in here today and think, oh, man, if I start stepping out in faith, then every single time the waters are going to part and it's going to be like that Moses experience. It's not going to be like that every single time, but I'll tell you, if you persevere and you stick with it together as a team, I believe thoroughly, I 100% guarantee you step out in faith, you start taking some risks for God, he will reward them in his time and in his way. How do you handle your personal expectations for change? Wow, that's really, really good. Now we're at the stage in terms of our church plant. So I turned the church over to my friend Tim, who started it with me last year. I did that. That was the whole plan. My wife and I are missionaries with an agency, and so the whole plan was to raise Tim up and turn the church over. So I did that last year, and one of the funny things that you'll find if you get into the church planting world is that every new church plant eventually turns into an existing church that has all of the same problems that all the other existing churches do. It's just kind of how that cycle goes. So what's funny is now people will come up with new ideas or people will say things, and I'll be like, oh, I don't know, that's not the way that we've always done it. And I'm saying that. And I'm going, wait a second, hold on here. And it's funny how that cycle goes. I think no matter how long you've been following Jesus, no matter how long you're in leadership or anything, you constantly have to come back to the question, what is going to be most effective to see life change happen? And you know what? Most of the time, you'll find that the way we have to position our personal expectations and our personal preferences is like this. You got to keep an open hand with it, because there's sometimes I'll come to the table with our pastors or with our leadership teams and I'll want something. I remember, I'll never forget this. So when we first started, I remember our drummer, okay? By the way, great job, worship team. Thank you for leading us. Our drummer was from Africa and he didn't wear shoes. Like, he was barefoot. And that drove me nuts. It did. I was like, man, like, why can't you just wear some shoes? Like, you know, that was what I would think. But I had to look at that situation and go, you know, is that really important? At the end of the day, is that really going to be important, or is that just a personal preference of mine? And I was the church planner. See, the thing is, it's not your church, it's not my church, it's God's church. And yes, as pastors, we are entrusted with this responsibility to steward what God has well. And yes, there's a lot of responsibility there, but man, every single one of us has got to come to the table and go, you know what? My preferences, my expectations are secondary, and I want to do everything that we can, even giving up some of my favorite things, so that, like people wearing shoes, that's one of my favorite things ever. No. So that the gospel can go forward and so that people's lives will be changed. That is what it all boils down to for us. Guys, I'm so excited for you next week. I'm sorry that I can't be here. I wish I could be here next week. I'm so thrilled, but it's been an honor to be hanging out with Bill and spending time together. We're going to continue to do that. Let me pray for you, and I'll turn it over to Pastor Bill. God, I thank you that you have called us into this amazing privilege, this amazing honor of being your ambassadors, being your representatives in this world. And God, I pray that we would continue to ask those questions of how can we do it better? How can we do it more effectively? How can we represent you in a way that brings about the life change we want to see in other people around us, but also in a way that really shows people who you truly are, God. You are loving, you are forgiving, you are good. And I pray that we would continue to do what we can to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the lives of those around us. I pray for Milestone. I pray that next week is an amazing launching pad for them corporately, as a body, as a team, as a family. I'm just so excited to be able to see the life stories, the life change stories that are going to come out of this event, and all of the things coming out of where Milestone is headed. Thank you for Pastor Bill and his family and just all that you've given this church, and I pray that you would give them abundantly more than they could ever ask or think. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Dan. I really appreciate having Dan here, and I appreciate his heart and that he's keeping it real. Oftentimes, we look and we say, we see only the positives of how things, you know, turn out in a positive way. And to be able to see some of the challenges and the discouragement is encouraging to me. Isn't it to you? So thanks for keeping it real and helping us there. Hey, next week we're going to have a celebration, and it's not going to fix all our problems. It's going to bring more problems. You see that? Because what's going to happen next week is it's going to give us opportunities to reach people that maybe aren't like us. And it's going to give us responsibility to reach people that maybe aren't like us as well. But we don't want a church to be just like us, because that would be weird. We want to be a church that's like Jesus Christ, because that would be awesome. And so we want to keep pushing in that direction. And so I also want to say thank you for all the people that have continued to be an encouragement over these years. This journey for the last 20 years has been awesome, and we're just getting started. Amen? And thanks for the encouragement. Thanks for hanging with me through those things and being a great support. I have a great leadership team, and truly mean that while things were down at different times, they're encouraging. And just said, keep plodding, keep going. And to have just good friends all the way around here is awesome. Yeah. All right. So on your response cards, I wanted to share with you this and give you an opportunity to respond. Maybe today you come in, you're like, I want to discover more about Jesus. I want to take some steps of faith there. We're always talking about Jesus, and maybe today's the day. If you'd mark that on there, and we'd love to be part of that process with you and be part of that conversation, let us know. Or maybe the second part, I'm inviting my friends to next week's celebration day. I hope that you are. I believe for me, I've got, I think, around 10 people that are coming just from our personal invites. Yesterday, I was at Dunkin' Donuts. I was so frustrated, and I shared this yesterday morning. I went to Dunkin' Donuts, and I was picking up some donuts for men's breakfast. And I'm always early, right? Okay, no. And so I was early yesterday, and so I'm driving in. I'm like 20 minutes ahead, and I stopped at Dunkin'. I'm getting a dozen donuts for the men's breakfast. And while I'm there, there's a line of people. At like 7:45 a.m., there's a line of people at Dunkin' Donuts and one person behind the cash register. So what do you do when there's a line? You say, awesome, this is great to be able to sit here and do nothing. And while you're watching the clock go, and you're like, I got to be there at 8 o'clock, and I'm going to be late. And so you start to stress, right? And so the cool thing was, around me, a conversation got started. Hey, how are you? And we talked about some different things. Somebody I knew stopped in, and this conversation's going. By the end of the conversation, God laid on my heart, not because I'm so spiritual, to invite three people out for this day. And I'm hoping and praying that they come out for this day. That'd be awesome. Had positive response from them. Yesterday, Melanie and Shelley were doing some shopping together, and were up doing some shopping, and while they were there, they're looking at this chair and everything, and for the nursery and stuff like that. And the lady they were talking to just opened up with her life story. And she was just kind of unloaded and said, man, I'm going through this, that, and the other thing. By the end of the conversation, they're praying with her and inviting her out for the celebration day and the series past that. It's just, I'm willing to be there for these conversations. Now, will everybody show up? I hope so. But if everybody does, you're not going to have a seat because you're giving it up for people that aren't here yet, right? Amen?
Yeah.
You're going to listen, don't ask me to grab a chair next week for you to sit in because all the pews are full. Yes? Does that make sense? The chairs are downstairs. Go get them yourself and bring them up and figure out a place to sit. Okay? I'm not saying that in a rude way. That came out rude, didn't it? I didn't mean it that way. Anyway. All right, cool. All right, so so hopefully you're inviting your friends for next week's Celebration Day, and we're praying for them and praying for you there as well. The third part is I would like to be part of the life group discussion. That we have three different life groups going on right now. One is going, not yet, but one has already started this past Wednesday and will continue. It's on Forgotten God, and that's on Wednesday nights. Tuesday at 1 o'clock, there's a new series starting on the 17th. And that's on Tuesday afternoons. And if you want to be part of that, that's really cool. And then on Sundays at 6 o'clock, and we'll see how that all works out. But at Little Sicily's, we're not going to be here at the church. I want to be outside of the church, in the community. And so we're going to be doing a group over at Little Sicily's. Now, there's limited amount of people that can be there. We can't have everybody, so we're going to limit that group, and if we have to do a second or third group, we'll actually do that for that series. And we're going to be doing that series for starting the week after our Celebration Day, who really needs God? And so coincide with that, all right? And so that's everything. And if you have milestone moments that you want to share with us, please fill that out and put that in the offering plate. All right. So guys, why don't you make your way to the front and give us the opportunity to worship God through our tithes and offering. And I'm excited that Dan is with us representing what God has done in their life and in the ministry there. And I am looking forward to how we're going to be part of their ministry in the future. And I believe God's got a sovereign connection here with us. And I expect to have him back this year even to share some more with us and for us to share some more with him. And we'll see how that all works out. Hey, thank you for your faithfulness in giving. Because of that, we're able to get a lot of stuff done and looking forward to what God has for us in the future. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the privilege we have to worship you through the just the giving portion of our service. And Lord, this is our response to following you. And so, Lord, we put you first in our finances, and we just step out by faith by giving. And Lord, help us to use the finances, the monies, in a way that would honor you and to exalt your name. We thank you for just a great service together this morning, and we look forward to what you're going to do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.